Good morning, Redeemer. Good morning. Christ, peace to all. It hit me this week. I've been gnawing on it all week this past week about how close we are to the 4th of July and how close we are to the 250th anniversary of our country here in America. And it made me think back how different it was 50 years ago when we were approaching the bicentennial year, that everything in the country for a whole year was really about that coming up, that 200th anniversary, 1776 to 1976. You have to sort of be about 60 or older to get that. But if you are, you can remember that. If not, you can take my word for it. I mean, everything was about that. Like, I was in junior high school at the time. I played in the band. Mercifully, that has long ended, but I was not a good addition to the band. But our band was wonderful, and we even had this fife and drum corps to celebrate 1776 in costumes that flute players and drummers would have. It was just amazing. Everything in my hometown, my little Lakeland, Florida, had this massive, you know, celebration at the baseball stadium there in the city, and that just happened all over America. You know, the country was struggling then. It really was. There was stagflation. Mortgage rates were over 20% for a home. Our most recently elected president had to resign the office in disgrace. We had a sitting president then who was not elected to be president or vice president serving at that time. We had the great glorious victory in World War II 30 years earlier, and yet in between there was Korea and then Vietnam, those sort of stalemate kind of battles, and particularly Vietnam was not appreciated by our country, those who served. Hard times. And yet, the country loved remembering who they were and loved thinking about what we could still be. And this time, you just don't hear anything about any of this. It's very interesting, but that's it. I'm not going to comment on that further. I'm not qualified to comment politically, socially. What I am qualified to do is to say, what about the church? What about the church? And what about our enduring community with Jesus Christ? And who have we been and who are we called to be in Jesus? And how can we be people of hope, even amid challenging times for the church, and people of confidence, people who know who we are and what we are called to be? So let's hear that from David and his community, which is really a picture of Christ and his church. We read from 1 Samuel 22, 1 Samuel 27. Hear the word of the Lord. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Then David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." So David arose and went over, he and 600 men who were with him, to Achish the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. Then David said to Achish, "If I found favor in your eyes, let a place be given to me in one of the country towns that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites, for these were inhabitants of the land from of old, as far as Shur to the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land, and would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the garments, and come back to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where have you made a raid today?" David would say, "Against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negeb of the Jeremelites, or against the Negeb of the Kenites. And David would leave neither man or woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking lest they should tell about us and say, so David has done. Such was his custom all the while he lived in the country of the Philistines. And Achish trusted David, thinking, he has made himself an utter stench to his people Israel. Therefore, he shall always be my servant. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Dear Father, please help us this day to know more and more who we are and what we are called to be as the church of your beloved Son. Enable us, Spirit of Christ, to embrace that identity and purpose as your church now and in the days ahead until Jesus comes again, and make us fruitful in all this, O Spirit. May this season bring a true greening to your church. O Christ, help who we already are here to stay with you, to endure with you and your people, and cause new people to come in, to find a welcome home and a purpose for their lives. All for your name's sake we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, you know, great Christian leaders of the past have said things like that are printed there in your bulletin. Cyprian of Carthage, 3rd century bishop, said, you really can't think about having confidence of knowing God as your father without having the church in your life as your mother to tend you and to woo you toward Jesus, toward the Father, to experience the life of the gospel. It's amazing, a strong statement. Think about our confession of faith. 1,300 years or so later, middle of the 16th century, the Westminster Confession that said, ordinarily, there is not salvation in Jesus Christ outside of the visible church, that normally, ordinarily, we experience Jesus in his church. Amazing, strong statements about the church, right? They don't often match what is often said by Christians today, like, I want Jesus, but I could do without the church, you know? I'm tired of the church. I'm tired of the hypocrisy. I'm tired of failures among pastors. I'm tired of the church's weakness and engagement and mission. I'm tired of the church. Well, to be fair, it's not just modern Christians that say things like that or have struggled in those ways. It seems that from the earliest days, right, Christians struggled to be the church, to stay with the church. Think about the writer of Hebrews speaking to Jewish Christians primarily, saying, don't go back, don't go, try to go back to the systems and the signs of Judaism, to the sacrifices. Stay with Jesus, stay with him in his church. Don't forsake the assembly of the saints together week by week, but while it is day, encourage one another in the Lord. Bryant beautifully charged, right, our new officers around the hope that there is one Lord, one faith, one body, one baptism, gifted in many ways by Christ, but all for his glory and his life. And so how do we live that more? How do we experience that more? You know, it's an acute issue today. Maybe it's always been a problem, but it really is an acute issue today. In America today, studies show that maybe about half of those self-identifying as Protestant Christians don't really have a formal church connection. And for those who consider themselves committed Christians, even in a local church setting, as Protestant Christians, maybe attend worship only half the Sundays of the year. Studies say maybe 1.6 to 2.0 Sundays a month does sort of a committed Christian attend worship typically. That's not good. So how can we get help? How do we gain help? David can help us, though he's far before Jesus. Beautifully, we've seen in so many ways how we look through him as a window onto who Christ is, great David's greater son, and his sort of band of 400 to 600 men and then some of their families who are around him are a picture of us gathering in the church around King Jesus. How do we live as the flourishing church of our King? I want you to think about that in just two ways with me this morning. First, we flourish as the church of our King as we experience church as a place of safety and welcome together with King Jesus. So what's the first space here depicted in the Samuel scroll? We've read these verses before recently. It's the cave of Adullam. It's sort of the Helm's Deep for David, if you're a Lord of the Rings person. It's this stronghold on the edge of the wilderness, a massive set of caves where many, even hundreds, can gather in there and find safety and shelter. Who goes into the cave with David? People who are weary of what's outside, who are beaten down by what's outside. People who are, the text says, in distress. People who are in great debt. People who have become embittered of soul. People who are tired and exhausted and undone and maybe even threatened, like David himself is, by what's going on outside. And then who else comes to the cave? Who else looks for the rock of refuge with David? His family, his parents, his brothers. It's very interesting. Something must have pivoted for his brothers, because every time we've met him, his older brothers, so far in the story, they've sort of jeered at David, mocked David, particularly Eliab, his oldest brother, has made fun of David when he was talking about standing against Goliath. You just, little boy, you go back to the sheep. Take care of those few sheep that father has. But something must have changed where they want to be with the family. They want to be with David, the promised anointed king. So who's the church? The church are people who are coming for refuge in Jesus the King. We are people who are exhausted, exhausted and undone by what the world has to offer, hard-pressed, crushed, finding all kinds of debtedness in our souls, bitterness in our souls. And we want to come be in the cave with Jesus to be our rock, our refuge, our strong tower. And we want to be counted and merged together with his family, with the family of the King. And there we find life and blessing. Jesus takes it one step further, right? That in him, we find refuge, we find hope, souls are lifted up, sins are forgiven, we are merged together with the family of God. And literally there, he doesn't just become commander over us like David does. He becomes, yes, our king, but we worship him. We honor him. We hope in him. You sort of see this picture by David. The cave of Adullam shows up later at the end of the Samuel scrolls, 2 Samuel 23, where David, a story is told of him with some of his strongest men, his chief men in his army, huddled up in the cave of Adullam. Again, a story is told when the Philistines hard pressed against them. And David says to the group, "Oh, I just wish I had a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem." And several of those mighty men break through the enemy lines, travel all the way to Bethlehem, get some water from the well at the gates of Bethlehem, and bring it back to David. And David is so overcome by it, he won't drink it. He just pours it out as an offering before the Lord. With Jesus, who are we as the church? People who worship him, who have our whole lives poured out as a drink offering before the Lord. I love the charge Bryant gave our officers about who they are. They're called by God, gifted by God to lead us. I want to say to every one of our officers, returning, newly ordained, serving now currently, together with our pastors and other leaders in this church, what do we need from you? To be modeling what the church is in the cave of Adullam. people who don't have hope anywhere else except in Jesus, who admit the brokenness of the world and the brokenness of our lives, who don't try to paper over that, but admit that freely and show that we are coming into the cave with Jesus, that we have no hope except with him. And then we realize that we are apart, though. Even though broken and sinful, we've been welcomed in by the King himself to be a part of his family. And together our lives get to be poured out as a drink offering to him in worship and praise. That's what we need from you. That's what we all need from one another in this body. That's the church, the cave of Adullam, a place of safety and refuge in Christ. Secondly, just think about, what is the church? It's like Ziklag, this little town in enemy territory on the edge of the wilderness. It's a place of mission and purpose. So we pivot ahead several chapters. We've read some of these other stories. Here's David. Now he's so hard pressed by Saul. He's been beaten and chased by Saul throughout the wilderness that he says, there's only one thing for me to do. I'm going to take this grouper with me that has now grown to 600. And we're just going to go over to the Philistines. We're going to go over and seek refuge there with one of the kings of the Philistines, Achish of Gath. And David comes in and begins to dwell there and says, don't let me be underfoot all the time. Why don't you give us a space of our own? So the king says, yeah, you take Ziklag on the border, on the edge of the wilderness, this little town. It's yours. It's yours. Now, what does David do with that space? He uses it as a base of missional operation. He, in a sense, plays double agent with Achish and says, yeah, it looks like I'm coming over to you, but I'm really reclaiming what was mine to begin with. You can read back in Joshua that Ziklag was to be part of the territory of Judah and Simeon. It was part of God's inheritance for his people. David is from the tribe of Judah. As king of Judah and then all Israel, he's just getting back by God's hand what is rightfully his. He's re-inhabiting what was to have been his from the beginning. That's what it means to be in the church. To be people uniquely spaced out by God, his work and his providence in all the spheres of life. Government, the public sector, business, education, medicine, agriculture, economics, any sphere you can think of where you're placed. God is uniquely organizing it and working it to say, here, I want you to take this back for me in my name. And I want you to use it as a base of operations. Not to do things the way the world thinks you're doing them. Like David says, well, I'm really going back against Judah. I'm really going back to the neighbors of the kingdom of Judah. No. We're actually going in God's name to take back the world. Now you say, well, Paul, I don't like hearing about David killing people and taking towns that weren't his and stealing all their goods. Listen, this is Old Testament holy war. This is, God had said back even in the day of Abraham, when the full measure of the sin of these peoples, the Amalekites and many others who are in this land, when the full measure of their sin has reached me, I'm going to push them out of the land so that Abraham, you and your people can have this inheritance. You may say, well, I don't like to talk about the killing. I get that. But in this era with Jesus as our king, he doesn't go and shed blood. He sheds his own blood. He lays down his life so that the holy war now is not with swords or with weapons and guns physically. It's with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's with the gospel in word and deed, where we make raids from the spaces God gives us to go out and see whole lives, whole peoples, right, die to their old way of life and be made new in Jesus. Death coming, a bloodless death, because the blood has been shed by Jesus himself, and raising them up to new life in him. We get to share in this mission with Jesus. in all the places that he puts us. Fran just finished this past Thursday, a two-week special program put on by the UT Medical Center for Victims of Aphasia. That's sort of what she's had coming out of her stroke. It's hard to find words. It's hard to speak words. It's hard to understand words sometimes. It all gets scrambled up. It's very challenging. And so Fran was with a group of 10 clients that were surrounded by these amazing personnel, speech therapist, speech pathologist, run by UT Medical, an amazing two-week program. It was awesome, everything. There were lots for caregivers. There were lots I learned. But the program, the sort of the graduation was on Thursday, and each of the clients made a presentation. Fran made a presentation about being on The Price is Right. If you know that, you know that about her. She was on The Price is Right when we lived in LA. It's amazing. But we finished, and just like all of these younger women who are leading this program, all the interns, these young women in their 20s, they just wouldn't let Fran go. They just hugged on her. They would not literally let her go out the door because they didn't want her to go, because they had experienced when she made cookies for them, when she courageously was trying to go forward with her life in faith, hope, and love in Jesus, as the light of Christ just shone through the cracks in the pottery of her life. They saw something. I had so many conversations with them, and I said, well, you know, some of them said, I literally cannot get enough of Fran. Can we give you our contact information? Yes, that would be great. We'd love to tell you more. We do this as Christians. We do this. Fran is all about this. It's really the light of Christ shining through her. It can be in all kinds of ways. It can be even in our brokenness, in our weakness. David doesn't do this all right. David doesn't do anything all right. But God is at work to build his kingdom, to use his church as a place of refuge and welcome and mission for the sake of the gospel. Let's live in the cave with him. Let's go live in Ziklag with him and watch what he does in and through us, where he sends us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good word we've received today. We thank you for the life of David. We can so relate to him, his struggles, him sort of saying even in this passage, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know where you are, God, in this anymore. I just want to go give myself up to the Philistines. Lord, a lot of times we find ourselves in the same place. Lord, thank you that you did not abandon us there, just as you did not abandon David there. Thank you that you love to welcome us into the cave, the refuge, the stronghold, to remind us who we are, to give us the privilege of your love for us and our worship for you. But then, Lord, to put us in towns like Ziklag, to put us in places where you want us to go and live in mission from, living the gospel in word and in deed, wherever you place us. Please help us, Lord, and feed us from your table now to that end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.